We have a lot of things to discuss today. Top of that, which is not really important, but keeps finding its way into our conversation, our layoffs. Then we're going to talk about what MTN is doing with its finance subsidiaries. We'll talk about Google and its eventual rollout of Bard. We'll also talk about what's happening with Meta in Kenya. Yes, I think we should talk about, first of all, we should talk about Amazon and the shock, not really shock that it threw at,
it's no longer
at the labor market earlier in the week. It announced that it will be laying off another 9,000 employees from the remaining ones. It laid off 17,000. 18,000, sorry about that, 18,000, and that makes up like 27,000 employees back into the trenches. And of course, the blame is on uncertain economic situation or circumstances.
That's crazy.
Units that will be affected by this layoffs include, I think, AWS will be affected. Twitch will be affected, and some other units also be affected by the layoff. And it doesn't seem like there's a stop to it, because between 2020 and let's say the end of 2019 and 2021, Amazon employed over 900,000 people.
900,000.
Yes, its workforce moved from.
moved from
about 800 and something thousand to 1.7 by the end of 2021. So we should expect more layoffs, because earlier in 2021, around April, it let go over 20,000 people. By that time, a total of 20,000 people had been laid off. So we should expect more from Amazon, because at least Facebook has gone back to status quo before COVID. So we're expecting that from Amazon too, because they really hired a lot of people to keep their fulfillment centers running, keeping stock, transportation, but inflation rates, labor costs, all those things, they are not helping. So hopefully Amazon get back to. They are still e-commerce giants, but I hope they are able to do what they have to do to get back to the position they are supposed to be. And also in the light of layoffs, OnPipe, a Nigerian embedded finance startup, also laid off. Although they have a small team, the number of layoffs also made up like 20% of the staff, and also its economic situation. But he said it has nothing to do with SVB shutdown, which we mentioned last week, I believe. And OnePipe is one of the Nigerian startups that confirmed that they had funds in SVB, but they said they've been able to access it. I don't know what that means. Maybe they've been able to withdraw it, or they just have access to it. Anyways, they said it has nothing to do with that, but they are laying off, and hopefully they are planning to focus on the only important things that they are doing, not just trying to do a lot of things at the same time. So I'm wishing OnePipe the best. But in the midst of all that, we heard that OnePipe also raised, but their race is confusing. So, because you didn't tell us about the race.
I mean, it's not really confusing.
If I say it's confusing, you're confusing.
Sorry, ma.
Okay.
Anyway,
explain to people like that. I find it confusing.
So OnePipe got a $4.8 million credit line from TLG Capital. So basically, it's like a loan that they can repay.
Okay.
So that's why I said it's not confusing. It's just terminology. It's just a loan that they can repay. So yeah, they will be using it to focus on inventory finance. So most of us would know OnePipe for open banking. They're one of the few open banking startups in Nigeria, and it appears they've been providing other services and they are going to be doubling down on inventory finance for small businesses. So makes sense, because inventory finance is like, is a big deal. We've seen a lot of B2B e-commerce startups that have, they've been offering something similar, basically buy now, pay later, but now they are financing. And I think Remedial Health does that. I've seen a few health tech companies who are doing that for the
pharmacy.
Yeah, for pharmacies. So yeah, it makes sense that they are doubling down on it, because maybe the open banking isn't, I mean, yes, the CBN released guidelines a few weeks ago, but it will take a while before the actual operations come into play. It would also be a long time before you can seriously make money from it. So with the uncertain economic conditions, it just makes sense that you double down on what is already working and just stay alive to...
So it appears the said uncertain economic situation is like taking... has taken a toll on the funding market, on the African funding market, or is it a global thing?
So I've not looked at the numbers globally, but since February, I think the second week of February, I've noticed that there's been a serious slowdown in funding. So February had 670 something million, and more than 400 of it went to just one company. So it just shows you that, okay, there was funding in February, but it went to, I mean, more than 50% of it went to just one company. So it shows you that there's something wrong somewhere. And I thought it would just be maybe the last few weeks of February, but today is the 23rd and it has continued. So if you go to the usual suspects, you may see one funding news and then like seven stories, one funding news, another eight stories. So it's been irregular. And it's unclear whether what we are seeing is a result of the whole SVB issues. I doubt it highly, but this could also be Africa finally getting a taste of the venture capital slowdown. So last year we made a lot of noise about how Africa was relatively unaffected.
Yes, but I was looking at the chart, a global chart, looking at Europe. It's reduced in Europe, reduced in North America, reduced in Asia. It's only Africa that didn't get reduced when it comes to venture capital.
I mean, that chart shows that, but in reality, we actually suffered as well. So 2021 was 4 billion, I believe, and everybody was saying 7 billion was where we were going to. But even the most optimistic projections or most optimistic numbers, and I'm talking about Patek, had about 6 point something billion. So we didn't even hit the 7 that a lot of people were projecting. But if we are now being a little bit more conservative, if you take the 4 billion that the majority of people reported in 2021, African startups just did about 5 billion also, between 4.5, 4.6, 5 billion, depending on who you're asking. So that just means we barely had I don't know the exact numbers, but the growth wasn't much. I mean, going from 4 billion to 5 billion is really not a lot. And in the context of global venture capital, we are still raising significantly less than, I think, 2% of what every other person is raising. So we've been suffering since last year, but it looks like we're now seeing it this year.
And this is really telling on companies that are heavily dependent on venture capital, on funds, companies that are not yet making profits, but that are paying the salaries of their employees with venture capital. So, which means, like, you know, if you remember months back when we were talking about Kune, is it Kune that Cloud Kitchen, Cloud Kitchen? And the next thing, when we heard that, when he couldn't raise fund overnight, the next morning he just declared that the company has shut down. It sounds so surprising, but these days, like the normal thing, because if you can't, some companies don't know where they will get
the next
recurring expenses from, and it's just terrible.
Things are about to get worse because looking at the economic outlook, like some of the projections we've seen made by, you know, the IMF and you know, organizations like that, things are bound to get worse because they projected that people's earnings will slow down by a certain percentage. And then what is happening is currently worse than their projections, right? And now it's looking as if it's the, you know, companies in the West that are having it harder right now. But
in the real sense, it's going to come back to Africa
and it's going to be worse, you know, for emerging markets at the end of the day. So I just
I don't yet to spell doom, but
I mean, so it's not really all, just have to it's not all doom and gloom. So it's a good thing and a bad thing. So when I speak to a lot of founders or investors, they usually say that to separate the boys from the men, and I agree. Because if your business model was entirely dependent on venture capital to survive, then you have to be rethinking. We've been talking about exits for venture capitalists. What does that look like for them? So now they're going to be thinking about it. Should I be looking at engineering a sale of one of my startups? So they are going to be, we would see a lot more M&As. I mean, we already saw Fair Money do one last week, if I'm correct. I think last week. So we're going to see a lot more. Funny thing is that I'm not seeing a lot of it in this part of the world. It's usually the Middle East. So companies are probably going to be smarter in the way they allocate capital, either for what do you call it, either for marketing or for just creating new products that they just want to flex with. But something that is very interesting is how it would possibly impact salaries.
But just to mention, of all this, the crypto market is doing well. And
so please,
let's move on to the next thing. Let's talk about which agenda are you trying to?
No, I'm just saying. Like,
you say you give glory to
God. Crypto market is doing well. Don't worry.
Okay, let's move on to something less sad, because this is sad.
Okay.
You cannot. You can shy away from that. It is because companies will start going lean, and with the fact that more AI solutions are coming up that you can even use to replace the people that you are paying salary. So you say now, like, okay, tell us about it. Google has eventually rolled out Bard.
Yes. So this is not the first time we are hearing about Bard, right? So Google has finally rolled it out to the public. Not everyone, but now the public can now have access to Google's response to OpenAI's ChatGPT. Yeah. So the first time when Bard came out, right, they told us about it, that it's going to be, you know, going to be just like, it's going to be ChatGPT's competitor, basically. And then it wasn't available for people to use, but then there was the promotional video that made an error and cost Google $100 billion, right? But now they are making it available to people. If it's not going to be like an addition to Google search, they made that very clear. Like, it's not going to be, because it's still limited, right? It's still limited in terms of results, in terms of clarity, in terms of it actually giving you the truth or giving you accurate information. So they're saying, no, it's not replacing Google search. It's just something to help you, maybe nudge you in the right direction to know what to search for. And yeah, so it's not available in Nigeria. I don't think it's available in any African country yet. But when I checked bard.google.com, they said, I can't get access to it yet. So even though it's now rolled out to the public, I still think it's still it's still a specific group of people that can still actually use it. And according to the FAQ, I think ChatGPT is still actually quite better than it, because it still only understands English, and not just English, only US English. Like, according to them, it can't code, but Ching Guozin was telling me this morning that some people actually used it to write a few lines of code. But according to Google's FAQ, they're saying, if you want to code with Bard, it's still learning to code. It really does not know how to code that well. You know, they made a lot of disclaimer. They were like trying to say it can't do this. We are not saying it can do this. It can't, like, they're just trying to, like, be very safe, telling you, it will make mistakes at times. We are still learning. And they also made us know that, you know, Google is big on advertising. Advertising is one of their biggest, you know, revenue generators. So they made it also clear that we are not using any of this information, you know, selling any of this information to advertisers and things like that. So that's basically it's about bad. But the AI, you know, battle for AI supremacy, the battle still continues. I think Adobe also recently released Firefly, their own AI. How they also want to fight the AI war, right? So everybody is, you know, gearing up. We saw Facebook a few weeks ago also release something to help researchers, people who are researching about AI, to give them access to it. So AI is...
We are still understand that AI is not coming for my job.
No, AI is not coming from your job. But what I've seen recently is that, because I saw a Japanese company that said, if you were hiring for a role, right, and to get that role, you have to know how to use AI chatbots, right? So I think that is what will happen, because if you think about it, you've used ChatGPT before, you see how it helps you do your work, right? Mm-hmm. It's not going to replace you, but you using it, it will help you work more efficiently, work faster, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's what's going to be happening.
That makes sense.
And even some companies are hiring for prompt generator. If you can generate prompts for AI, like, your job is basically write prompts for ChatGPT to come up with results.
That's a skill.
Yeah.
Because same way, some people don't even know how to optimize Google.
Exactly.
As of this,
so there are some people that are skilled at using Google.
Exactly. So yeah, I think that makes sense. So let's move away from AI. Let's move to MTN Nigeria. What's happening with them and their financial subsidiaries?
Okay, it's not what's happening. It's what they plan on doing.
Okay.
So they are having their annual general meeting next month, April 18th. And they would be voting on whether they should merge the two financial services that they run, Momo and then Yellow Digital Financial Services. This is where it gets interesting for me, or very confusing. I checked Momo's website. On the About Us page, it says Momo is a subsidiary of Yellow Digital Financial Services. So how are you merging a subsidiary and its parent company?
Yeah.
Do you get?
It's like... Swallows it up.
Or maybe they want to make them one.
Okay.
Yeah, like it swallows it up and... Maybe like, they will not share a name instead
just
of
one
saying
name instead of doing different things. I see. But anyway, that's okay. It. So they had initially like informed us that they planned on doing this when they released their 2022 financial results.
I'm curious, what is the implication of this?
This is MTN's plan to like double down on financial services. So you know they've rebranded as a technology company, and they're basically churning out services in that. And one of the things they said in that financial report was that they are going to be doubling down on financial services in Nigeria. And let me read the line for you. So they said the scaling of Momo PSB in Nigeria remains a key priority of our overall fintech strategy. Our focus in the year ahead is to accelerate wallet creation and expand services offered to include bank tech and payments. So I was on the MTN website and I saw that they are providing APIs. They're basically playing in the financial services space. And you're asking about implications. I think this is probably MTN. Of course, they alluded to it, but this is also them using their reach in the country to offer financial services. So they have more than 60 million subscribers, and they mentioned that they are going to be scaling 4G and 5G capabilities. So if they do that, the idea is that they improve broadband coverage, and with that they can help to play in the financial service, sorry, help to advance the financial inclusion agenda.
So my issue with MTN at the moment is that it's almost 2 months now that Nigerians have been experiencing cash crunch.
Yeah.
And I was praying and expecting that MTN will use this period, or other mobile money services will use this period to expand they are rich. And by now, I can't really see
the Mpesa effect
with Momo. I expected it with Momo. I'm not expecting it on that scale. Yeah. I'm saying that at least for now, we should have like a tangible,
like what we saw with Payday, Cheaper Cash.
Yes, exactly.
Not necessarily. So these are two different. MTN is not a startup. They are a technology company, but they are not a startup.
But they have a market.
Yes, they have a market. Momo services are useless to me. I have a bank account. You have a bank account. If I do most of my financial transactions within the so-called formal financial services sector, so it's useless to me.
In the informal sector.
I was telling Yinka this thing last week, what you just said. So I noticed that I think about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I started seeing Momo ads on almost every website I visited. So it was just in my face. And I was asking him, you guys are advertising to me, right? Why are you advertising to me? You are doing a lot of online marketing. And I don't think, the numbers tell us that the financially excluded people are not online. Mm-hmm. So you can't be marketing to me. Yeah. So the problem is now that these people, MTN has 60 million people, which is more people than more than the number of people who have BVNs in Nigeria. If they have 60 million people, does that say that the majority of their customers have bank accounts? So are they not,
Mobile money is supposed to include the financially excluded. Do you really have to have a bank account?
No, you don't.
That is the market they were supposed to tap into so that we, mm-hmm. that are in the formal sector, can be able to transact without cash with those people.
So yes, also
if you ask them, they say they don't have a bank account.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So the problem now is you may not see that. So I am like waiting till maybe half year. So they would usually release their results towards maybe first quarter or maybe when the year goes halfway. That's when we can see if they actually onboarded more people. So the number of wallets on Momo grew last year, but we will not see how, like, we can't see in real time. It's not like NIBS where, depending on who you are, you may be able to see the payment numbers grow. But I think maybe we should wait until the halfway period before.
I'm hoping,
it's possible that they actually got more.
I'm tired of this cash crunch, and I mean, where we are living, we didn't see
people who are using all of that.
Even Inera got 63% increase.
I hope you know that it could be nonsense 63%. If they were doing 100k people and then they went from 100k to 150k, is that not all 163?
They actually gave, I think it was,
you have up to 2 million people using Inera?
I don't know for a fact, but they said transactions increased by 63% and they gave that around, I think, $1.3 million. I don't know. Exactly.
$1.3 million.
1.3 or 1.3.
That's a transaction value award.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway, I think that's something you should be watching out for, right?
I'm actually watching out for mobile money a lot.
I'm watching out for Inera. It works.
Then it's happening in Kenya. Meta. What's with Meta and Kenya? So this Meta and Kenya. What's wrong?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like steady. Meta and Kenya people. They don't see eye to eye.
Okay, what's happening?
All right, so content moderators in Kenya are suing Meta for unlawful dismissal, right? So they are saying they were dismissed unlawfully. They weren't told exactly why they were dismissed, but
that's why it's called dismissed. Not laid off. They were sent off.
Yeah. So they said it's most likely because they were trying to form a union, right? Facebook. What Meta actually does is they use contractors to source for these content moderators.
So they are not staff.
Okay, so see, it's this way. So you have a security guard, but you got that security guard from a security company. This guard basically stays in your house. He's watching over you. You have more.
He serves you more.
You work directly with that security guard than with the company.
Contractually.
Yes. Yeah, but
contractually
we'll get there. We'll get there. So the thing is, they were trying to form a union and they were dismissed by that company that contracted them to Meta. Right? So Meta then stopped working with that company and then started working with another company to contract new moderators. Mm-hmm. And then Meta said those people that were, because those people tried to apply to that new company, right, to get their jobs back. And Meta said, these particular people, I don't want to see them.
Oh, I see.
My eyes on you. That's
yes.
Funny.
And now the reason why that is skeptical is it's because they are trying to form a union, right? And you can't lay people off for trying to advocate for a better working environment, right? Because when you think about it, I mean, this is not the first time Meta is having issues with content moderators. And there was a case in, I think, 2020 in the US. So you see that it's not just Kenya. It's not as if Kenya has beef with them. In the US, they had issues with content moderators because the work these people do is, you know, they look through a ton of content that's supposed to go on the platform. You see beheadings, rape, you see things like, you know, really, really morbid and macabre things, right, that normal human beings should not be looking at. And Facebook said, you know, we understand these things you have to go through. So Facebook created, they created some rules that, okay, you have to go through therapy, you know, things to help you cope with those things. But turns out Facebook was not holding up its end of the bargain, right? And these people start suffering from PTSD and things like that. So you understand, you now understand why these, you know, Kenyan employees want to create a union, you know,
to do a Luther.
Yes. To get, you know, a better workplace environment, because what they do is actually very important. But Facebook said, you know, they are forming. So the issue is Facebook is laying them off. They are saying Facebook is laying them off because they are trying to form a union, which is unlawful, right? And I also read that Kenya can actually, even though Facebook Meta, okay, just know that whenever I say Facebook, I'm saying Meta. So even though Meta is not
in Kenya,
right? There's actually a law that allows them to be sued. Right, to be sued. So,
well, I don't agree with whatever it is that Meta is doing, right? But I still feel this has to do with the contracting company.
Yes,
because I stopped my contract with you, then you laid your contract staff off, rather. Then I employed another contractor to bring me people. And I'm trying to say, these people that I stopped from working, then why do they want to come and join again? It's okay. You know, Amazon, as big as Amazon is, Amazon has never allowed its workers to form a union. Mm. Every other day, they're always dragging something. Right, I do not agree to it, but big companies like this that sometimes overwork their workers, that sometimes have toxic
work environment,
they will never allow.
Yeah,
reminds me of when I was working at a paramilitary environment. They didn't allow their workers to have a union. You will not find military people having union. Exactly. Exactly. You can't, they won't. So it depends. I think it boils down to the people that are looking for the job. They should look for where would be convenient for them. I understand that unemployment rate is high and all, but they should look for where we allow them to voice their grievances, because I don't know. They should go to court and do whatever they want to do. But
I think there's also a way for this. Is also not really. This is like, in a way, it comes down to the government as well. So private companies typically don't like unions. Even in Nigeria here, they don't like unions for obvious reasons. So how can we protect both the worker and the employee at the same time? it's very difficult to have to expect the company to always do that, because now you're relying on their internal processes to do that. So I think we need legislations that look at this very, very closely. We don't necessarily,
actually legislations
that do that.
For instance, now, if it's in Nigeria, you don't have the right to deny anybody employment as long as the person is qualified. Mm. But is it enforced? People are denied jobs on flimsy basis because they don't want to bring their payslip from their previous job and silly things like that. Mm. But it's in the enforceability. And these are some of the things I discuss in the Workaholic newsletter that I release every Monday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
And if you've not subscribed, and if you think work should be good, work should be nice to do, not just for you to earn money from it, I think you should subscribe to that newsletter. And there's another newsletter, FinTech Today, that Chim Gozurim handles. It's released every Tuesday and Thursdays, right? And it also discusses all these things around funding, around...
Just FinTech in Africa, anything. News, funding, development, whether Momo is doing what they're supposed to do or not, and all of that. So,
and then there's the flagship TechPoint Digest that covers everything about everything, all the happenings in the African tech space. Please subscribe to all these newsletters and get informed. And this is a good time to also remind you of the Lagos Startup Expo that will be happening in a month and few days. No, in less than
May
20. May 20. Yeah. Yes, May 20. It's more than a month. But
2 months approximately.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yes, yeah. Yes, 2 months. Yes, 2 months. So it is closer than you think. And we'll have hundreds of startups from all over Nigeria coming together to showcase whatever it is they are building. And also bringing together tech enthusiasts and decision makers who are potential users of those products. So if you're a startup founder, if you're an entrepreneur, if you have a product that you're building, if you're a traditional or a conventional company, then we call it traditional, I'm very sorry, that you have a tech product that you want to let people in the tech space to see, you can come and book a stand, you can sponsor the event. We'll drop a link that you can reach out to us through, and we're open to hear from you. And if you are, we also want you to attend, so we'll also drop a link for you to register. It's free so that you can attend. So I'm hoping to see you there. Of course, you'll see this face at the Lagos Startup Expo. I think that is all for today.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm sure you miss Emmanuel. You will see him next week by the grace of Almighty God. Yes. Thanks for joining us once again. Bolu, for our audio listeners, where can they find us?
Okay, for our audio listeners, you can always find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and anywhere else you get your podcast.
Yes, and if you're watching us on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe, like, and click the notification bell so that you get notified every time we release a new episode. So thank you for joining us once again today. See you. Bye.
Bye.